Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, WWE have released another human being.
Three title changes on last night's episode of Halloween Havoc to tell you about.
We got a crazy conspiracy theory on why NXT fans boo MSK.
And several WWE tag teams learn they'd be splitting via social media. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
So, WWE release. Greg Hamilton, gone from WWE, it seems. PW Insider's Mike Johnson broke this news last night. Greg Hamilton is, of course, one of WWE's leading ring announcers. He's the SmackDown ring announcer.
Yeah.
You know him for Shinsuke Nakamura, all kinds of...
And getting slightly abused by Shane McMahon, if I remember right.
Yeah, yeah. Having to repeat it over and over. The best in the world. But Greg Hamilton is no longer with WWE. PW Insider breaking the news yesterday. This comes after it was pointed out to Mike Johnson of PW Insider that Hamilton had removed his WWE tag from his Twitter profile and made it private, gone to his real name instead of Greg Hamilton. His real name is Greg Hudson.
Why change his name?
I know, they looked into it and everything else and found out that he's gone from the company. So there's no word on why exactly Hamilton's been released. He'd been with WWE since 2015, so he's quite tenured. But he had a weird weekend on social media, Greg Hamilton. On Instagram, he actually went after rapper Westside Gunn for sampling his voice in a song without like crediting him or asking permission or whatever. He was going to try and sue him for $20,000 and $30,000, and he was swearing a lot. He's deleted all of this since then, but it was an interesting turn of events from a guy who's had kind of an interesting year on social media.
Yeah.
I remember in June, he kind of made some really none-of-his-business comments about Leo Rush's retirement and stuff. So, look, we don't like to judge everyone's behavior. Like, everyone's situation is different when it comes to things like this. I hope Greg's doing okay, whatever's going on in his life. But he's gone from WWE, and yeah, there we go.
Yeah, it's a shame. Like you say, he's such a well-known voice. Well-known voice to WWE fans. Putting all the social media stuff to one side, as you say, we all wish him best in whatever he does next. You know, they've got a whole host of other announcers that they have that we see popping up on numerous events that they have. But it's a shame to lose Greg Hamilton. And if any rappers want to use my voice in a song, here's your sample. Is this the best rap song ever? Expect good friend Wale to be
dressed.
No. Yeah. Oh, you have to go, get on our Patreon for something like that. That's got to pay the big bucks. Or listen to the Rampage preview, because I do a Rampage rap word every single week.
Rampage?
The best wrestling podcast in the UK, and it's still got that on it. Anyway, let's move on and talk about Halloween Havoc. It went down last night. It was a wild old affair, and there were three title changes on NXT 2.0. Didn't see those coming. The only person who actually retained his title, I mean, I suppose technically Roderick Strong had a match, but it was non-title because it was against Odyssey Jones.
Odyssey Jones is not 205
yeah, not quite. The only person who retained his title was Tommaso Ciampa in the main event in a quite enjoyable hoss battle with Braun Breaker. But all the other titles that are on the line, they changed hands. Mandy Rose is your new NXT Women's Champion. She got helped by a hooded figure that was revealed to be Dakota Kai, as we all bloody knew, because the person in the graveyard was speaking in a blasé Aussie accent, so that kind of gave it away. But yeah, Raquel Gonzalez got twatted with a spade, I think, or something. And then, Mandy Rose finished her off. A good, great night for Toxic Attraction, in fact, because Gigi Dolin and JC Jane won the Skirway to Hell ladder match to crown themselves the new NXT Women's Tag Team Champions and their new Men's Tag Team Champions as well. Imperium knocking off MSK in a result I really did not see coming. A wild night, Halloween Havoc, as always.
It was, wasn't it? And it's kind of weird that the one title change that we probably did see coming, Bron Breakker, it's a new era, all of this stuff, was the one that didn't happen. So
he was protected. He did take like a DDT on exposed concrete and two, what are they called? Widow's Bells? I can't remember.
Moves. He hit the...
Two of his finishes. Tommaso Ciampa did some moves. And a lot of knees. Yeah. That's what he ate. But yeah, like you say, if it was going to put money on any titles changing hands, it probably would have been that one. But yeah, same Toxic here. Attraction now hold almost all the gold. Yeah. And Imperium, not a team I would expect to be part of 2.0, the colourful, fun brand where they're like, oh, the match's sacred.
Serious wrestle boys.
Yeah, I thought MSK would hold those titles for a long old time, but no, that's not the case. Yeah. Fingers crossed, that means MSK's going up to the main roster because they are mint.
Where they will be ruined.
Well, quite possibly. You know. And there's a weird conspiracy theory about them, isn't there?
There is indeed, and we'll get to that in just a minute, but I've got to tell you about some books first. You guys are all into reading and things, and hey, we've got a trio of hot new books. Well, I mean, one of them's new, two of them have been reprinted. Shop, no, that's not the right URL. We got this wrong yesterday.
Whatculture.bigcartel.com.
If you go there right now, we have a brand new book on AEW. It's called Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW by our very own Michael Sidgwick. We have a reprint of Michael Sidgwick's previous book, Development Hell, The NXT Story, from a few years ago. And on top of that, we have updated our old book, 505 Wrestling Matches You Need to See Before You Die, with another 101 matches.
You lucky
606
bastards.
You Need to See Before You Die, because a lot has happened in the past 3 years and we had to put it in the book.
And also on there, if you want to get the Sidgwick bundle, I suppose, you can buy the Development Hell book and the new AEW book as a big bundle. And if you order them now, they all come well in time for Christmas.
International shipping, good stuff, great, smashing. If you like reading, if you want a Christmas present for your loved one, there you go. Frankly, you know, John Moxley's got a book coming out real soon. But
not as good as Sidge's.
I was going to say, if there's any man, any writer who can compete in terms of sheer manliness, it's Michael Sidgwick. And those will be the two books that I particularly am reading over the holiday season. But anyway, right, this MSK theory. It's weird. It's weird. Right, so a lot of us have been wondering, MSK, they're a lot of fun, right? They're fun to watch, they're athletic, they're exciting, they're fast-paced, they're everything else. They seem like cool guys. Why are they getting booed? Why are they getting booed in NXT? What's going on here? They're baby faces, they shouldn't be getting booed. This is very strange. Okay, let's unpack this. A weird story kind of emerged over the weekend, Twitter, Reddit, dark corners of the content-verse.
Oh, good, places I'd love to go.
This story was doing the rounds, but it's been verified now by Dave Meltzer, who spoke about it on Wrestling Observer Radio yesterday.
And did he tell him what happened, Dave?
Tell him what happened, Dave. Well, you remember Izzy, right? Izzy, who used to be ringside in NXT about 5-6 years ago. Bayley super fan. She was there for every show ringside. She got involved in the Sasha Banks feud a little bit with the hairband and everything else. She developed a bit of renown through this. Obviously, became something of a famous fan. She was like, you know, young supporter in the crowd.
She's
loves
training
Bayley.
To be a wrestler, isn't she?
She is, and she does some media stuff now as well. So fair play to her. She's been able to kind of grow her own brand and everything else. But back in 2018, she took a chokeslam from Effie on an independent show in 2018 when she was like 12, 13 years old. This drew some criticism from people like Lance Storm. Chelsea Green mentioned it. One of the people who mentioned it was Nash Carter, who of course back then was Zachary Wentz, but he criticized this publicly. Now, Izzy's parents, according to this conspiracy theory, are regular attendees at NXT every single week. Dave describes the situation with NXT as about 200 people. They're invited and it's largely the same group every single week. According to this conspiracy theory, when MSK turned up, Izzy's parents were like, hey, they were mean about our daughter back in the day. Everybody boo them. And this thing has kind of spiraled. So that's the theory. I should have donned my tinfoil hat into the house for this one. But it's a really weird story. It's just something we felt like we had to unpack today. Now, no hate on Izzy whatsoever, by the way. I think it's great that she's been able to craft this thing. And she was like a really awesome addition to like the Bayley and Sasha storyline in particular. But this is wild, isn't it?
I get it, and you might have a bit of beef with MSK, but they're mint. Don't ruin them. Don't boo them. It's not there. I mean, like, I just think it's preposterous, this. And to be honest, as ridiculous as it sounds, I 100% think it's probably true. Yeah. Because, yeah, there's got to be some reason. I mean, granted that they maybe got booed last week because they attacked someone from behind, but they were only getting revenge on something that happened to them previously. Yeah. And there's still a weird atmosphere whenever they come out. I love MSK. I think they are one of the best tag teams in WWE after the grizzled young veterans, of course. But, yeah, stop booing them. And maybe just, in the words of that girl on Frozen, let it go.
The cold don't bother me any.
No. I'm more. Not chilly cooch, as she says.
That's the one.
Right, let's conclude by talking about tag teams finding out they were going to be splitting through social media. No great surprise to me, this story, surprisingly enough. It comes from Fightful Select. Sean Ross Sapp, no crap. Just Sapp from Fightful Select. Yeah, it's previously been reported that they've contemplated, I mean, as part of the draft, splitting up several tag teams. I mean, the Street Profits were considered, according to this report as well. AJ Styles and Omos were very nearly split up. And yeah, a lot of the people who were split... you know, the likes of Veer and Shanky and Talia's and Tamina's, Knox and Shotzi, T-Bar and Mace. Yeah, a lot of them found out that that was going to be happening, not through a nice phone call saying, look, we got big plans for one of you two, or we want to give you some singles runs or whatever. They just found out by refreshing something on their phone and going, oh, well, guess we're not friends anymore.
Yeah, it's what a weird situation. But it's the kind of thing we've heard about a lot when it comes to decisions like this in WWE, big decisions that might impact someone's career and everything else. I wouldn't like to be in their shoes, but it's WWE, so there we go.
Yeah, exactly. I bet you T-Bar and Mace got big shoes as well.
Large, very large.
Also,
shoes.
Like this note in the report.
Especially T-Bar.
People had questioned the value of drafting tag team wrestlers as individuals rather than a duo. WWE's response... yeah, that wasn't important.
Yeah, don't worry about that, guys.
Shock horror,
it's
WWE.
Fine, don't worry about it.
But I think you'll find tag teams aren't important. Jesus Christ. Right, before we move on to your Twitter questions, just a quick reminder to our UK viewers that you can get your hands on a brilliant selection of 12 craft beers, all a part of Survivor Beeries with our friends over at Top Rope Brewing. 12 craft beers, £45, all in, absolute bargain. Free delivery if you enter the code Here's Why at checkout. The link is in the description as well. We're doing this whole big thing, 5 years of Top Rope Brewing. It's going to be Top Rope versus What Culture, 12 beers, pick a side, etc., etc. Get your link in description and get some of these delicious beers that you often see us guzzling on camera.
There you go.
Yum. Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At What Culture WWE, of course, you want to get in touch with us. First question today comes from Biggest Joe, who says, hi, guys. If they are doing the competing brands concept for Survivor Series, could they make it more personal for each of the matches by having the losers vacate their titles? This could lead into the next pay-per-view, having new champions crowned. A lot of questions around this, Andy, about how they make value from red versus blue.
So I'm not really a massive fan of the idea of vacating titles and stuff. I think we've had enough shenanigans recently with titles and belt swaps. This feels like the first day in about a week that we aren't talking about Charlotte Flair and that situation. But I don't necessarily think that's the answer, because then you're looking at vacating like four or five titles at once. And that'd be kind of wild. I think the best thing to do is give people title shots for if they win, right? Mm. So if you beat this person, if you're in a Survivor Series team and you win the 5-on-5 or the 4-on-4 or whatever the heck else, you can have a title shot if you're the top person or whatever. There are other logistical issues that come into that, but they do have to give it more stakes other than my t-shirt is better than your t-shirt.
Yeah, if you want to give more people ammunition to suggest that current WWE is old school WCW, not the good kind, a lot of vacant titles are the way to go about something like that.
Yes.
I like that idea. I think even just something as simple as has been suggested before around giving people advantageous positions within the Royal Rumble, perhaps, if... I don't know, the whole brand wins. You know, they do the counter where it's like, ooh, it's 4-3 to the blue brand, like anyone gives a toss. Well, yeah, if your entire team wins, then you're going to get, you know, this in the second half of the Rumble, which still doesn't prevent surprises and what have you. But, yeah, just something more than, oh, my God, this is the most important thing. And then the night after Survivor Series, aside from maybe a little bit of an in-ring bollocking, that's it.
Yeah.
And they've got a year to prepare for it every year, and they never do anything different. Jake. Give us our second question today. With Vince now in control of NXT 2.0.
Oh.
Could we see fan favourites be promoted even sooner than they were in old NXT?
Yep. Yep.
I think this almost might be beneficial. If you're a fan of someone in NXT now and they're being utilised in NXT, chances are that it'll probably use them well on the main roster because, yeah, he's kind there's of got his fingers in both pies now, hasn't he?
Yeah, there's more synergy now, theoretically, between developmental and the main roster. But yeah, I mean, we had the rumours of Indy Hartwell, who feels like she's only been there for a cup of coffee, getting called up as part of the... That didn't end up happening or whatever. But yeah, I think it will be accelerated, and don't be surprised if people just arrive a lot quicker than before. Because, like, previously it was like, hey, you've been in developmental for 5 years learning how to work a hard cam. It's kind of nonsense. They would sign all these veteran indie guys who've been wrestling for, like, 20 years, and it's like, what the hell could they possibly learn in the... What are you doing?
Sorry, I'm just putting... Hey, yeah, hello. Can I put a bet on Tony D'Angelo to dethrone Roman Reigns, please? Yeah. Yeah, all the money in my account, thanks.
Fair enough.
Sorry, yeah, I just...
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be... He's going to hit him with the bada bing, bada boom. That's the name of his finisher. And guess what? Roman Reigns going to be sleeping with the fishes. You schmuck. Hey! Hey, Paul Heyman, you schmuck.
All right.
Talking about Brian George, final question today comes from Brian George. He says, what are the chances Bianca defeats Becky even? Not Bailey. Get well soon, Bailey. What are the chances Bianca defeats Becky for the women's title so they can avoid Becky versus Charlotte at Survivor Series?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance not only to avoid Becky versus Charlotte at Survivor Series, but also Bianca kind of needs her revenge, right? She needs her babyface win over Becky, who has defeated her at every level of this feud, obviously taking the title off her in like 20 seconds or whatever. Gratification, they've delayed it as long as possible. I think the whole goal of this heel turn was to try and elevate Belair as a babyface. We'll see if that's successful in the end. But yes, I think that's
satisfying finishes and title changes on TV keep people watching. I'm not sure if WWE can remember that.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
That's why I think they should do it, and it is going to happen on Monday, isn't it? Goodness me, that's turning around quickly. Right, let's move on to today's and finally. And I just wanted to mention something really nice that Ryan Nemeth is doing. He is selling a limited edition number of his brilliant Brody Lee watercolours. The link is on his Twitter. 250 signed, numbered. All of these will go to the John Huber Legacy Foundation. AEW doing some brilliant things for that family for a long while now. But yeah, I just want to give props to Ryan Nemeth for just adding to, you know, what is deservedly one of the big charities that AEW gets behind, and something that hopefully can really make a change in this business.
And by all accounts, Ryan Nemeth is one of the good guys in pro wrestling. He's always,
despite the fact he's a bell end in the
ring. He's a bell end on TV, but a nice guy away from it. He's always trying to raise awareness of various things, and he's been very supportive of a lot of people who've been hard done by the wrestling business. So shout out to him. Nice to be able to have the opportunity to do that, and I hope this thing raises millions of dollars.
And if you want to find them on his Twitter page, you can go on ours, it's on our likes and stuff. But if you want to follow him on Twitter, he is RyRyNemNem. I just realised that, and it's just popped me huge. But yeah, go and support him. Go and support the John Huber Foundation. Well worth all of your support. And some brilliant watercolours on there as well. Right, let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and the Daily Boys sitting down to preview AEW Dynamite a little bit later on today as well. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at...
Follow me at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for, hey, busy day, gotta go.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all right down there. At WhatCultureWWE. He's not wrong, by the way. Merry Christmas, everybody. You've got some big things coming your way over the next few... Can people see you? I don't know.
I've left the room, mate. What are you talking about?
People can see some great quizzes coming your way across all the channels in the next few weeks. That's what we're off to go and film now. My thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.